welcome to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is Tamara Stark. I'm your moderator for today, and I'm filling in for Catherine Halpin, who's busy with clients and not able to join us for today's program. And I am so excited and pleased to introduce you to Connie Kadansky, who is the president of Exceptional Sales Performance, which is an international sales training and coaching practice. Connie is a graduate of the Adler School of Professional Coach Training, and she received her PCC in 2007 and is working very hard to become a Master Certified Coach. But most importantly, Connie is a recognized expert in identifying and eliminating sales call resistance, or reluctance, I should say. She was recently interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, made a radio commercial for American Express, and is the author of a sales coach book. She is also continuing to collect success stories of top professionals in diverse industries and is writing a book entitled Cold Calling Works. Welcome, Connie. We're so pleased you're with us today.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Connie, I know that you have already, in your wonderful practice, coached over 1,800 private clients. So tell us a little bit about how you first learned about what coaching is and the coaching profession itself.
Well, I had a friend that was working with me in my office in 1997, and I just started my business. And she said, "Connie, you need to talk to my coach." And I said, "What?" And that's the first time I ever heard about a business coach. And so she introduced me to Marlene McGoffin, who's no longer alive. I coached with her for about 2.5 years. And I went to see Marlene, and if it wasn't for her, there would be no way that I would be in my business. It was so powerful and impactful. And
so you found that having a coach really made a difference in building your business as well as creating success?
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, she challenged me when I needed to be challenged. She helped me pick myself up and dust myself off when I had disappointments. And it was just at that really critical place that when I was building from scratch, I was just totally building this training business is what it started out to be from scratch. And Marlene, I would go and see her every week, and it was just absolutely. And that's when I just knew how powerful it is to have somebody like a coach on our team.
Connie, how would you describe the difference between if you had hired a business consultant or a sales consultant versus working with a coach?
Well, you know, consultants are good. I mean, I've hired a lot of consultants in my day too. But a consultant is somebody who tells you what to do, and then you go do it, and they're long gone. I mean, I hired a really professional consultant for my speaking business, and it was very expensive. I paid him about $7,000, and that first meeting that I had with him, I was so overwhelmed. I walked out of there, and it took me a year to do what he told me in that one day before I ever even went back to see him. And a coach is somebody that just sticks with people and through the whole process.
So really, when you had a coach in your business development, it was somebody who walked the journey with you.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'd like to remind our guests, by the way, on the program, that if you have a question for Connie, you're welcome to call in at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. Connie, what made you decide then, besides hiring your own coach and knowing how important that was for your business, what made you decide to become a coach yourself?
Well, I had a workshop and a training program that was helping people overcome their fear of consistent prospecting. So it was designed for salespeople. And what I found is people don't go to a training program. Very rarely do they do much with it. But if coaching is involved, it keeps them engaged and that they get much better results. And so with my training program, I would provide 4 weeks of one-on-one coaching. And it kept people engaged, and they started doing well, and I was able to. And so it was the proof was in the results that my clients were getting. And so I became a coach without even knowing that there were credentialed coaches. So I was just modeling my coach from my first coach, Marlene, who was not a trained certified coach. She was just a lady that had really good intuition and opened up a practice.
So when you start, when you took your coach training, what did you learn that even made you of higher value to your clients than what you had previously done without coach training?
Well, I'll never forget the day that I was at American Society of Training and Development, and it was in December, and I sat down at a table, and Laura Atwood, who's the president of Adler School of Professional Coaching in Arizona, she said, "Oh, I'm having a foundations coaching program, and here's a flyer, and it's going to be starting." And I took it and I looked at it and I thought, you know what, it was a week training and I thought, I'm going to do that. And so I signed up, and on that first day, the first hour, when the instructor, Darlene, was talking about models and the essence of coaching and how we view our clients, I was stunned. It was like I didn't know what I didn't know in that first hour. And that's when I thought, oh my goodness, I thought I was coaching all this time. And was it really coaching? Well, you know, I was doing the best I could. But after I went through that first week, and then I just continued through that program. So I am really convinced that coaches need professional training, they need to be credentialed, because there's just so much to learn and so many different perspectives and dynamics and models that I'm just a big believer in it.
So you continued and then completed your training with Adler?
I did. I completed it, and I was able to take the test, and I had a whole lot of coaching hours from the time before I went to the coaching school, and I just started over when I started into my foundation coaching. I thought, I'm going to start from here, but I had so many clients, I was able to get through that program and take the test and become a PCC right off the bat.
Connie, can you tell us what you think the difference is in how you worked with your clients and the results that they were able to achieve because of what you learned in coach training?
Well, prior to the coach training, I was just giving people advice and telling them what to do. And after coach training, I was more aware of coaching them. And I think another big thing is that prior to coach training, I was coaching their sales call reluctance. That's my branding, the sales call reluctance coach. And I was coaching their sales call reluctance. After the coach training, I was coaching them and their behavior and their prospecting. And so it was much more focused on that. And I believe that they started even getting better results after that. I know they did.
Mm-hmm. So you saw the difference right away, both in how you worked with them and also in the results that they achieved.
Oh, yes. And knowing that there's a model, and prior to coach training, I'm the one that set the agenda for the call. It never occurred to me to ask them to set the agenda because I know what they were coming for me. And so just letting them set the agenda and asking them what choices they have, what options they have, and going a little bit deeper. I mean, it's just a world of difference.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, Connie, you said that you started your business in 1997, and so you've been in business now for 15 years. How many coaches have you worked with over that period of time?
You know, I've worked with about 7. And long term, pretty much. The last 3 have not been as long term, but I've had the same coach that I meet with on a weekly basis now, and I've been with him for 9 years. But then I'll hire a coach to for a certain, you know, if I had Anna Malekian help me with my Blog Talk Radio. I think I had some emotional there. I had some technical, and so I had her, and she really helped me and helped me on some autoresponders because she's a real marketing techno person. So it seems like now the coaches that I'm working with are more on, you know, strategic, pushing me out of my comfort zone on the marketing side.
So they're also helping you with your sales.
Oh, yeah. More the marketing than sales, but which is really different, you know, but we've got to be out there marketing. I'm convinced the marketers will always win, and when you look at it, that's true. The ones that are out there using social media, networking consistently, you know, on Blog Talk Radio, et cetera, et cetera.
So, and I also would like to mention that Anna, that wonderful coach that Connie just mentioned, is the person that coordinates our Blog Talk Radio show and does such a fabulous job for us. So I'm glad to know that she's also being well utilized by our coaching community here in Arizona as well as internationally. So thank you, Anna, for that. And Connie, you started talking a little bit about your business. Why don't we jump into that for a minute? And right before we do that, I am going to remind people that the call-in number, if you have questions, is 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. So, Connie, tell us a little bit. You mentioned the difference between marketing and sales. Sometimes as coaches, we don't always understand the difference. Tell us how you understand that.
Well, marketing is all about lead generation. I mean, what are you doing to get leads to come to you? And then sales is converting those leads. So I believe that coaches need marketing and sales. They need skills in both. And so my business is really, like I said, it started out as a training business, a sales training business with a very focused on fear-free prospecting and self-promotion. And so it started out there, and I did really well. I hit the ground running thanks to my coach, and I made a connection with the Arizona Republic. I knew a lady there just vaguely that was in a Toastmaster organization. She wasn't in my Toastmaster club, but I had met her at an event, and she worked at the Arizona Republic. Well, I didn't have call reluctance. I overcame my call reluctance. I called her and went in to see her, tell her what my business was, and she introduced me to the head trainer at the Arizona Republic. And he really liked what I was talking about and what my training involved, because his training was all about once the salesperson is face-to-face with the prospect. And so we signed a trade agreement that lasted for 3 years where I would get advertising in the Arizona Republic, I mean, a really nice ad once a month in the business section on a Sunday, and Monday my phone would ring. I'd have 40 calls, and I did general public workshops, and so then I did a trade where the Arizona Republic salespeople could go to that program, and they did really well. And that lasted for 3 years, and then the Arizona Republic got bought out, and my sales trainer, he was the first one to go, and I just completely lost connection there. It was a total different philosophy when this new company came in. But in those 3 years, I had general public workshops, and I had people coming in from around the country. They would fly in, but it would always, that advertising, that was what got people to know about what I did. And this was really a long, kind of before the internet and all this social media. This was back in 1997-98.
Oh, okay. So you started really early on and practiced what you preach, so to speak.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I networked like crazy. I was out everywhere. And the Phoenix Chamber was a very good positioning for me. I got on a committee there and got a lot of prominence in being a speaker at their networking events and being a facilitator at their networking events. And I landed a telephone company, a cell phone company. It was AirTouch Cellular way back then. And, I mean, just from one event, it was like a $10,000 training project. And so one time I saw the president of the Phoenix Chamber, and I said, by the way, you know, I got this AirTouch Cellular contract from a Phoenix event. And she was so excited that a small business owner, this one solopreneur, could do business with this big company and get such a nice training. I think it was, I don't know, it might have been $12,000, but at that time that was a lot of money. And so she really brought me front and center, and I got publicity in different newspapers because I became their poster child. So timing is everything, but also I was willing to get out there and network and do the work.
Well, tell us, share with us, if you would, Connie, a little bit about what helps you to just be willing to do a cold call or not be reluctant in making a sales call. What aspects of you come out in that process?
Well, you know, the key is for people to make their cold calls, and it's really, if they're calling into a target market, it's really a warm call. And the goal is to become so convinced of the value, to have a really strong value proposition. And so that's part of what I teach, is helping people develop this laser-sharp value proposition so that when they do make that phone call, that they've done their homework. It's not like they're just making a call. They're saying, you know what, I'm looking at your website, or I read about you in the newspaper, or I'm familiar with your company, or something of commonality to open it up, and then to have a really strong value proposition along with an engagement question, like to ask them a question around something that they're doing in order to get them to engage. And so I really find it challenging, and I find it fun and educational. And, you know, I mean, I've made calls that I can tell you I've had people that aren't that nice. But it's okay. It's just a timing issue. They just were not having the best of days, and so it doesn't mean anything about me. And so that's what I help my clients with, to really emotionally detach from the outcome and work on their presentation skill and the influence that their voice has on their prospects. So there are just so many components that I find very intriguing that, you know, that pull it all together.
So what you help them to do is to really get clear about the value they're bringing, but also to know something about the people they're contacting and be able to express in meaningful and strong ways how they could help them grow their business.
Well, it's true. And I just wrote a blog this morning because yesterday I was in my office and I got a phone call, and it was my local telephone company that they wanted to upsell me on a package. And I'm always open to talking to salespeople because I like them. My clients are calling people all the time. But this guy started out, and he said, tell me about your business. And I said, wait here. You're saying that you want me to stop what I'm doing and to educate you on my business. And he said, well, yeah. And I said, because he was just approaching me totally. Tell me about your business, for crying out loud. He didn't do any prep work. And so it's just to help people to zero in and talk about their business from the prospect's perspective. So he wanted me to sell me on an internet service through them and not through somebody who I'm at. And if he would have just asked me a question that, like, when's the last time you checked about how fast your internet service is, he would have engaged me. But then another thing he was doing is he was trying to save me $20 a month. $20 a month is not important to me, because it's going to be more hassle. And we were just going around and around and around, and I wasn't trying to be difficult, but it was just like, is this no wonder that people get so turned off by salespeople when somebody calls up and says, tell me about your business.
So you really help people to be laser focused and keep the prospect in mind instead of the ultimate sales in mind.
Well, yes, because it's all about the value that you can provide for them. And that's how I help people overcome their call reluctance, is really shifting their perspective and their focus off of themselves onto the value. What's in it for that prospect in order to have them engage with you? And it takes time to do your homework and figure that out. And sometimes it's really difficult for people to put it in layman's terms about what you do for companies.
Connie, could you share with us your value proposition for exceptional sales performance?
Yes, I help people overcome sales call reluctance so they can prospect consistently and comfortably, so they get more appointments and close more sales.
Great. So that's the kind of statement or whatever that you would also help your clients to get really clear about.
Oh, yes, yes. And the best value propositions have a metric involved where you tell them. So, for instance, one of my clients right now, they're calling into companies that HR companies, and they sell an e-verify system, meaning that the companies use their system in order to verify the employees that they're bringing on. And they're using the metric that the audits for these e-verify are up 280%. So for them to use that 280%, then the person on the other end is going, wow, 280%, I better listen to this person. So they're just, every business is unique, but it's entirely possible to create that kind of value proposition.
Wow. And I want to read people your tagline, because then maybe you can tell us a little bit about this too. The tagline for Connie Kadansky is, we help salespeople get their ask in gear. Tell us a little bit about how you came up with that.
Well, there's a book, I think it's written by Jack Canfield, and it's Ask for What You Want. And it really is, you know, and even, you know, ask and you shall receive. We've all heard that, right? And it's just a mirror. It's just asking people. And it's amazing when we ask people that how open they are. And it just occurred to me one time, and I just thought, you know what? And it took me a while. Those taglines are not easy to come up with, because I didn't come up with that one for about 5 or 6 years. But that is the essence, is really what it is that I do, help people have that proactive confidence to get their ask in gear.
And you have to be very careful as to how you say that.
I know, because sometimes people don't, and so I really have to accentuate that.
And you get to know who's listening then, don't you?
Yes.
That's right. I'd like to remind people that if you'd like to call in with a question for Connie, you can. The number is 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. And also, I'd invite you to go on to Connie's website after this call, and that's at www.exceptionalsales.com. And she also has available a sales call reluctance coach video on that site that you can download and also watch Connie in action. Connie, tell us, I know I'm going to switch gears for just a second, because I know that you've also been participating in a scholarship program for executive coaching in Beijing, China. And tell us a little bit about that experience and how that shaped your business as well as your coaching.
Well, so I'm not involved now. I was involved in it a few years ago, and the International Coach Federation put out a notice that they were doing this executive coaching in Beijing, China, and who wants to go? So I applied, and they accepted me, and so I flew over to Beijing, and it was like a three-day type of specialized coaching with coaches from around the world, Australia, Jakarta, and it was just looking at their coaching model, and what they really were looking for is input on the coaching model that they were using. And they treated us just like royalty, and it was just really a lot of fun. And I learned a lot, met a lot of people, and the way that it shaped me was just that coaching is international, and it works. And to hear the testimonials of companies and presidents of companies that were using coaching in China and what a profound impact it had on. So I think that what it did for more than anything is just confirm that the international component is, it's a global. And then also when you get coaches together, it can be really a unified front when you think about what's going on in our country and in our world, and if coaches can work together and how much impact that we have on our economies and our world and our country. So that's basically what it was.
It sounds like a very exciting opportunity.
It was. I'm still in touch with one of the coaches from Australia that we kind of started palling around, and there were two guys from Jakarta, and we would go in our free time and get a cab, and they spoke the language and took care of us, and it was just really fun.
Have you done anything differently in your business because of what you've learned from other coaches around the world?
Well, I don't think I've done anything differently. I'm just more open. I am so much more open and understanding and compassionate. And I think I'm, you know, learning to be a better listener, and also the perspective, understanding that everybody's coming from their own experience. So I think it's really helped me expand from being more, you know, closed-minded. It's really opened me up just to an appreciation, too, an appreciation of who people are, where they are, what their culture is. I do training and coaching in Trinidad, West Indies, and it is so evident that their corporate people there are more team-oriented than in the U.S. In the U.S., they speak, I'm just saying my experience, so I'm not generalizing, but it just seems like sometimes it's just lip service about the team, but I just see that in different cultures it seems more genuine as far as it really is a more of a team approach and more compassion for their teammates instead of the competition. That's what I see.
So more collaborative and
in reach goal.
Connie, would you share a couple of examples of not only how your coaching process works with the client, but also how in that process they shifted themselves to be even more successful?
Well, with me, when people reach out and call me, they're normally salespeople, bankers, financial advisors for the individual coaching, and they're just not seeing enough prospects. The first step with me is to have them take an assessment that really helps to identify exactly what's going on with them. It is so valuable and so useful. So it takes people about 40, 45 minutes to take it, and then we spend an hour on the phone going through line by line. And in that time together, I start coaching them. And then they get a feel for what coaching is like. And then at the end of that conversation is either I help them to go in the direction that they can go it alone, or we have an agreement that they'll become coaching clients. So that's the process there. And what was that other question?
So can you just give an example then of, so let's say that I'm your client, I've gone through the assessment, we've done the hour conversation to really look at parts of the assessment that might be areas I could work on or continue to celebrate and do well with. And then let's say that I do decide to continue to work with you as a coach. What would be the kinds of things that you might, processes or approaches you might use with me?
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for clarifying. So after they take the assessment, we have a book called The Psychology of Sales Call Reluctance. I didn't write that book. It's written by two behavioral scientists out of Dallas who also developed the assessment. So I stand on the platform of just profound credibility. And then I have them read the sections in the book that pertain to their fear of prospecting and promoting themselves. Then we just start, you don't learn to ride a bike by just watching somebody ride a bike. So that's when I start really working with them and finding out their value proposition, finding out what kind of list they have. Some salespeople come and they have plenty of people to call, and others people don't. And most of the people I work with are business to business, so it's B2B. So it's not really a do not call list kind of issue. And I just start having them work through their reluctance by writing down. So let's just say somebody's ready to pick up the phone and make a call, and they stop. I have them write down on a piece of paper what is causing you to stop. And so then they can start identifying those thoughts that are keeping them from prospecting. So it might be like, oh, they're already working with somebody else. So it really helps them become aware of how they're pre-playing the prospecting call to the negative. So then they just really become aware of it, and then I start coaching them on those issues. So the goal is to coach them, so it's not in how to shift that perspective, because that's really what it is. I mean, Tamara, you're a coach too, right? So thinking about really what is it that we do for our clients is we help them shift their perspective. So when people can become really clear on, oh, that's my perspective on this, and then I just have them, like, what are some of the alternative perspectives here? And then they just start working through it. And many of my clients record their calls. There's a company that it's easy to do. And then I'll go in and I'll listen to them, and then I'll have them go listen to a few calls, and I'll say, hey, shoot me an email. Let me know what it is that you did well, two things that you would do differently next time, and one thing that you would never do again. And that recording those, it helps people so much. It's kind of like the athlete looking at the videotape of their game, because they can see what they're doing well, and my clients can hear what they're doing well, and then they can also hear. I had one client that said, after listening to two calls, he goes, Connie, I was talking over them. I was interrupting them. I sounded like a bull in a china closet. I didn't hear a word that they were saying. And he was able to just completely shift by doing that. So I do that. And to answer your questions about a couple of success stories, I had a guy that sold shears to salon owners, and he would also sharpen their scissors. So think about that. Think about all the stylists and hair salons. They're using their scissors all day long. They need to have them sharpened. So he had the equipment. He had the truck, the van, where he would pull up in a parking lot, and he'd be able to go and just actually get them, give them a replacement, go out and sharpen them. And then he sold these designer shears that run about $250, $300. Well, he's a real technician. And when he started this business, and he was a nice-looking guy, but he said, when I walk in, he goes, they're usually busy with a client, and they're all dressed up, and they're you know, and he just was so intimidated by that. Do you know that he is doing fabulous? So we just kind of role-played and worked out what he could do and how he could talk to people. And once somebody would have him sharpen their shears, they just loved him. And he was able to quit his full-time job and is just this guy that and is doing fabulous. So that's just one example.
That's great. That's really great. So you work with people in a variety of disciplines or arenas who are having to do sales. How would you approach this for coaches who are wanting to build their practice and attract more clients?
Well, I think coaches need to have a niche. I really do, because then you can know who you're going to market to. So I would encourage coaches to really explore and think about a niche, and I know many coaches are doing that. And then you've got to be out there. You have to be doing things, you know, not on social media, absolutely. I did get my first client from LinkedIn a few months ago, and I got active on LinkedIn, and the next thing I know, she's calling me. But it takes a lot of focus and discipline to be able to spend the time. So I think that with coaches, and one way for coaches too, and it's really helped me, is speaking engagements. I try to have at least 2 speaking engagements a month and just have really good content and find a way to capture those leads from the speaking engagements. I just had one on Wednesday, and I'm booked for one in May. So, and coaches are usually pretty good speakers, and they have good content, and then they get invited elsewhere. So the speaking engagements are, I really think, a great way to build a coaching business.
And what techniques do you use to gather information from the audience, contact information, so you can follow up?
Oh, you're such a good listener, Tamara. What I do is, throughout my presentation, I'll say, if anybody needs this, like a worksheet on developing a value proposition, give me your card at the end of the program and I will email that to you. And then at the very end of my presentation, I offer up 2 articles that I can email them or an assessment. And then if they're really interested, they come up and talk to me afterwards, and then I follow through with them and ask them if I can add them to my email list, and the majority of them say absolutely, so then that helps me start building my email list. But offering something of value, and the people that are really interested, which is usually about 33%, will come forward.
That's great.
Yes.
So if any of us as coaches were speaking to audiences and doing something like that, we can assume a pretty good return on the time in terms of future contacts and building mailing lists and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And I fought that building mailing list until some marketer just told me, she said, Connie, you are missing out on not sending out a regular email blast or whatever, because I just think, oh, people don't read them. But you know what? They still see them. And it doesn't mean that they don't read them. It doesn't mean that they don't like you. It just means that, and for a short period of time, you just came across their email, and they may delete it, but it was a marketing event. Because, and I know it's true, because I get an email from a CPA, and I know her, I like her, but you know what? I never read her newsletter. I just hit delete. However, not one day she sent it and somebody called me and said, I really need a specialized CPA, and I was able to refer her. Now, I would never have referred her if I wouldn't have been on her email list.
Yes. And I would like to remind our listeners that if you'd like to call in with a question for Connie, you can reach us at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. Connie, tell us a little bit more about how you're using multimedia and technology, both for webinars, seminars, teleseminars, LinkedIn, Facebook, blogs, all of those things, or newsletters that might enhance somebody's business and marketing and sales.
Well, my secret is I have an amazing virtual assistant. I just love her, and I've had her for a few years now. And so she does a lot of that. When, you know, like I will give her the content of my newsletter, and then she puts it all together and does everything to do with it. So I don't even. And then she'll do anything technically for me. So I very rarely see her. I only see her maybe once a year when I take her to lunch or something like that. But we just communicate via email. So a virtual assistant, a really techno-savvy virtual assistant, is an absolute must, and they are out there.
I think your secret is out now, so I would hope that some of us would consider getting a fabulous VA to support our business.
Oh, it's worth it. Oh, I just can't tell you how much it's worth it, because we don't have a lot of expertise and time, and then I have another virtual assistant that does my YouTube stuff. So right now, as we speak, she's working on my YouTube background and my Twitter background. And, you know, and so I'm just really well networked as far as reaching out to people who are good at certain things. And then I did take I had a consultant that worked with me on LinkedIn, and just I spent, I don't know, 4 hours on the phone with him over a month, and we would go in there, and he really taught me how to do this. And then there is a coach through Choice Magazine who did a teleconference on LinkedIn and what your profile needs to look like. And I really listened to her. I went in, changed my profile, did exactly what she was said, and it was really, really very valuable. And so I did that, and then I blog regularly. So this morning I blogged on my experience of this salesperson calling me and said, tell me about your business. And I titled it, because titles are so important, and the title was The Worst Sales Script Ever. And do you know, I've had more interactivity today than for a long time. And what, somebody that I know said, Connie, I am going to pass this on to somebody that I really hope that you can get some business from them. So writing a blog is super easy. I mean, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be hard. And I actually have three blogs. And there's a organization called Customer Think. And if you have written at least 15 blogs, you can apply to have it. They're a blog directory, to have your blog accepted through their directory. And so they pick up on my blogs. And I was in there the other day, and one of my blogs has been read 954 times. I'm like, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah,
and then
great.
In some of my blogs, I'll put, if you need such and such, please email me. And so then I can find out, are people really reading my blog? So just things that I picked up along the way. Now I am getting a little more active in Twitter since I went to a book marketing conference, and the gentleman there said it's vital to be active on Twitter. So I'm doing that kind of like the last 10 minutes of the day, and I think that that's important. And then just having my blog show up on Facebook too. So my virtual assistant was able to, when I write a blog, it shows up on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and then this blog directory picks it up. So that's really important. You do it once, and then it just kind of shoots out there.
Mm-hmm. So you're also looking for ways to not only expand your audience, but only have to do something once and get it linked into all kinds of other things.
Yes. Yeah.
Connie, tell us a little bit about the book you're writing.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. Yes, it's called Cold Calling Works. And what I'm doing is I'm interviewing salespeople who cold call and write a chapter on them. So I interview them, and then my editor types it up and then puts it into a narrative. And I'm featuring salespeople across the country, across industry. And I am so inspired. I interviewed this guy. He's a financial advisor. He's made 70,000 cold calls in the last 8 years. He makes 30 a day. He has a spreadsheet. He has everything. He's got it down, and he's building his business. And then the other day I interviewed a girl that works at a staffing company, and I said, tell me about your latest success story. She said, well, I just landed a new company. I have called them 80 times in the last 4 years, and I finally landed them. And at first I'm thinking, that's excessive, 80 times to the same company. But you know what? That's only once every 6 weeks. You just call up and say hi and find out. But she was so persistent, and so I just find it inspiring. So right now I'm pulling it together. I'm still looking for more women. I've got plenty of men, but I'm looking for more women that are, you know, actively out there prospecting and cold calling. And I'm getting emails from people that listen to my blog talk radio, because not only do I'm writing the book on them, but I'm interviewing them on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm hearing, oh, your shows really are helping me to be listening to salespeople and how they're out there succeeding and what their attitude is. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and when do you expect to be publishing?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, I'm definitely behind schedule, because it's just pulling it together. So right now I'm just going in the editing phase and trying to get a continuity per chapter. Even though I'm asking people the same questions, sometimes a question that comes from one of their answers can just be really unique and very helpful. And then at the end of every chapter, I'm writing bullet points you know, unique bullet points about what they have said and how they're succeeding. So I was hoping by June, but it doesn't look like that. So, but hopefully by 2012. I own the domain name Cold Calling Works, so that's a good thing.
Yes. And I have heard some things about rules of thumb for cold calling, like you have to generally, it takes 5 calls or things like that. Are there some in certain industries or across the board with cold calling, the number of times you have to approach somebody before you can even get in the door, let alone make the sale?
Well, I mean, if you look at some of the professional contact management system companies like Infusionsoft, they say 5. But you know what? I mean, what I find is like 1 or 2, where because you what you want to do is you want to have a conversation, right? And so with my clients, I really help them so that they're calling people and their ideal prospect, and we work it out. And so having a conversation that first or maybe not the first time, but second or third time, it's entirely possible. It's attitude. It really is. It's attitude. People who don't believe cold calling works, it's not going to work for them. And I always tell them, well, you know what? Your competition is out there, because so many people just got away from the phone, but the phone works. It really does. And
what I'm hearing, though, is in addition to just being willing to make the call, that you're helping people get really clear on their market or coaches on their niche, and on their message, their value proposition, as well as how they're going to say it. So what I'm hearing is that for the clients you coach, they're not having to make those 5 calls. They're actually getting in a conversation in the first or second call.
Yeah. And, I mean, and there's a way to get through the gatekeeper. There's a way, you know, there are ways to go about this that's not hard. But it really and truly is attitude, because some people just have had, because sometimes by the time they get to me, they're just wiped out. Not all the time, but sometimes they're just wiped out. And to try to help them to overcome this experience that they've had and to help them shift, sometimes it takes a little bit more time, but it's going back to what you just said, the willingness to make the call. But if you knew, you know, I had somebody to say to me, if I knew I could help one person from having to, they're in the long-term care industry, from having to having their children pay for their old, when they get old and can't pay for themselves, if I could help one person, it would be worth it to me. And then they have that attitude every single day. If I could just help one person today so that they don't have to suffer from X, Y, Z. So it goes back to passion, too. What are people really passionate about? And what's
mm-hmm.
important to them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Connie, in addition to talking about your business, maybe we could switch gears for just a second and talk about the value that you see in both, as you said earlier, becoming a professional coach, professionally trained coach, and being certified, but also being a member of the International Coaching Federation and other professional associations.
Well, I'm a believer in the International Coach Federation. I think that they do really hard work for coaches, and coaching is getting more and more prevalent and acceptable. And I think by being active in a local chapter is also really important, because you think about coaches, some of them we're isolated. We're in our offices, we're on the phone, we're coaching our clients, and some days we don't even leave the house because of our schedule. And so me personally, going to the coaching association meetings, I always, always, always learn something that is incredibly valuable from the speaker, from a resource there. And I think that people are, they're doing themselves a disservice to think that they do not need that kind of a connection, that that membership and those meetings are so valuable. And they're good. I mean, I've never left a meeting that I haven't left with, oh, my God, I'm so glad that I went to that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that I had an opportunity to meet you and Anna and many other powerful coaches through the local Phoenix chapter. And I want to say, Connie, that you and several others have just been so generous with your time and with your expertise and your wisdom in helping other coaches build our practices and be successful. So I think one of the things I find really lovely in the coaching community is that we really do support one another in achieving our own goals, but also achieving our collective goal of letting more people know about coaching and also raising the standards in the profession.
Well, yes. And, you know, I was at a conference in New York City. There were 4,500 VPs and VP and above, and they did polling, and they asked, what has been your most profound personal development that you've had in the last year? 72% of the people said my coach.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know. It was the coaches. And the value, so it's there. Yeah. Well, and if any of the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If any of the listeners would like, you know, talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you, share with you anything more specific that you'd like to, so feel free to reach out to me.
Would you provide your contact information, Connie, to them, please?
Yes, Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E, at exceptionalsales, S-A-L-E-S.com. So Connie at exceptionalsales.com. And then my phone number is 602-997-1101.
Great, Connie. I really appreciate you offering that because I know you are very generous when you with people, when you speak with them and help them to do even better. And what else has helped you professionally to develop as a coach in addition to ICF and some of the programs? What else have you done for your own personal professional development that might be helpful to our audience?
Well, I record some of my coach calls, and I go in and listen, and sometimes I cringe. So I record them, and then every once in a while I'll type them up word for word, so that I can become aware, and I've been going through that right now and doing that. And, oh, my gosh, you know, sometimes I just feel like, oh, where was I going with that question? Or he didn't even ask me that. So listening, recording the calls and listening to them, I think, and I am committed to that. I do that every week. I'll record a couple calls with my clients. They call into a special number, and they know I'm recording them for my own purposes, but it has helped me profoundly, and that's what helped me in the coach training more than ever.
Okay. That's really good advice for all of us, I think. And as we're winding down, Connie, any other little tidbits of advice that you'd like to give people to help coaches get their ask in gear?
Well, just get, it's called strategy, structure, and execution. Get your strategy, put some structure to your day, and just get out there and do it and move and take action and just believe in your value and listen to what your clients are saying to you. That will boost your confidence because everybody needs a coach. I'm convinced of that. We all do better when we have a coach. So believe in you and know that there are clients that are out there for you, and they will find you or you will find them. Just trust in the whole process.
Wow, Connie, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation with you today. And again, I've been with Connie Kadansky, who is the president of Exceptional Sales Performance, also an author, and soon to be author of a new book called Cold Calling Works. And also, she's a PCC coach on her way to becoming a master certified coach. And Connie, we thank you so much for your generosity, your advice, and your wisdom. And we look forward to people on in Radio Land listening to this either live or sometime in the near future. So for today, we're saying goodbye. We'll be with you again in May for our next Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.